So tonight we jump into a couple more parables. We're going to cover two tonight, as you can tell here. If you can't see that in the back, I apologize. We're going to cover the friend at midnight and the persistent widow. So I know that other brothers have spoke on that. CEO did a sermon not too long ago about this just as well. So I look forward to any commentary as well as we go throughout this study. Keep in mind that as with all things that I've done through here through the course of this quarter one, if you've got any questions or comments, please feel free just to reach out and speak mind on that one. But we're going to dive into this a little bit. Last week we covered the parable of the talents. Tonight our scriptures start off with Luke chapter 11 and verse 5 is where we're going to cover our first parable. And then the second one will come from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. So as we prepare to read this, think again about what that parable consists of. As we've gone through this study, we've continued to break down what is Christ trying to tell the people of those times now, but what we have revealed to us, helping us understand the things that's necessary. That he's revealed to the Word, the things that he was trying to get across to them, the applications that it makes to us today as well. There's a lot of figurative level with it. There's a lot of literal representations. But I think one of the things that's consistent throughout each of the parables is the aspects of something for the people then and even now to grasp onto, something that they could relate to in a way. So we've covered all sorts of parables like that, right? When we think about that, the builders, the barren fig tree, chief seats, wedding feasts, good Samaritan, like all of these, they have such points in them that help hold true on things that the people can relate to. I think, again, as continued throughout the study, Luke 8 and 10, given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, Matthew 13, 11 through 13, right? Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And so we drive through this primary thought of these two parables. And as I think about them, and brothers, sisters, correct me if I'm wrong, but in my studies, I look at these as just persistence. It's continuous persistence that comes from these two parables, the parable of the friend at midnight and the persistent widow. So let's read our first parable here as we jump right into it. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give them. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks it shall be opened. For if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks of a fish, will for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will they offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we have our first parable here. And think about that friend at midnight that comes. Context is coming from prior to that. He asks, and the Lord teaches to pray, and as John also taught his disciples, and he's teaching them, you know, the prayer there, the some like to use, but it breaks into the understanding of persistence in prayer. When I looked up persistence in the context it's defined as, it's a firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition, to be persistent. The continued or prolonged existence of something. Persistence doesn't stop. And for the other parable, I want to go ahead and read that too, and we'll reread a couple parts of it later. But turn with me over to Luke chapter 18. And then we'll flip back. I just want to recover both of these two here as well in the thought of persistence. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? We have our two parables, Luke 11 and Luke 18. Context of the parable of the persistent widow, men ought always to pray and not faint. Context comes from earlier in verse 1. That men ought always to pray and not faint. Persistence, right? The same thought between these. And as we break these down into the two parables and dissect them like we have been, let's come back to the friend now. Parable of the friend at midnight. We understand that a friend was a close acquaintance. We understand this friend was persistent in the asking. The chapter opening starts off that one of Christ's disciples asked him how to pray. Christ sets an example of prayer. Not a prayer to be exactly said each time, else that can become vain repetition, which we understand from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7 through 8. But it's being consistent and persistent in your prayer. He demonstrates this by introducing us to a friend that comes at midnight. Sorry, I have to scroll back here. The owner of the house knows who this friend is, and that he is very persistent. By my studies, he's had a reputation that's built around him in being persistent. How do we know that the friend has a persistent nature about him? Well, the owner states one phrase, do not trouble me. It's not that the owner truly didn't want to help his friend. For him, it was merely just an inconvenient time. Well, we know that as children, in ourselves, we know that as children, it's never an inconvenient time to pray to God. The spiritual lesson that Christ is trying to help teach us is that no matter the hour of the day, we must be persistent in our prayers. We may not always receive it at first, but if we're consistent and persistent, we will be granted those things as long as God approves of them to be granted. And I think about, a couple slides ahead. I think about Philippians chapter 4, so let's turn there. And it talks about, we just got done, as long as God approves it, it'll be granted. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us what? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? To God. So we must let our requests be made known. When we ask, we must be persistent and consistent. And if God approves of those, again, those things will be granted to us. It may not be right off at the very beginning. It may take some time. We got to remember in our place who we are and who we are going in prayer unto. Who are we asking from? And then I think of Proverbs, chapter 30. Turn with me there. Proverbs 30 and verse 7. Two things I have required of you. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. I think about this, the reason I brought this in here, as we're thinking about some of the requests being made known. We've got to let requests being made known to God, but it's also being mindful of the requests that we're making. What are we asking of when we're going in that prayer? When we're asking that friend, right? In the example here, he's asking a friend for something. It wasn't a convenient time for his friend, but the friend was persistent. And I think about James chapter 5, and verse 16. James 5:16 tells us what? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The key term that I want to pull out of there is what? Fervent prayer. Continuous. Persistency. We must be persistent in what we pray, or rather, how often we pray, in what we pray for, and who we're praying to. As we understand from that parable, coming back to that in Luke chapter 11, we have what has happened right here, right? We think about this friend. We have this example, this example that Christ is telling us. This friend came to his other friend at midnight, asked him for something. His friend ended up giving in and said, because he's a friend, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs, though. And then Christ tells us something. The very famous statements that we love to think about as children. These three words: ask, seek, and knock. Very important words that comes with things that comes along with it. So we start off in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In Luke 9 and 10, these are things that we must do. Yes, go ahead.
Just bring to your attention verse 10. Mm-hmm. They're all plural. Mm-hmm. You don't do it one time and stop.
Yep.
It's a persistent thing, just like you're saying, they're all plural words.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that's a great point. Looking at the continuation of the terms itself, right? It doesn't do it once and then stop. Yeah. And it requires an action. Right? It's not something we just stand idle. This does not say right here, ask, seek, and knock, for everyone that asks receive. He that seeks knocks. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. It does not say to stand idle. It requires action. I think about, again, James 1 and verse 5. Right? There's a lot of talks about faith with it in the book of James. But the one I want to bring up into mention here is James chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ask of God, because we know that God gives liberally. We must be mindful of what we ask.
Goes on there too, Chris, to say that we need to ask, you know, without doubting. If we ask in a doubtful manner or, you know, don't expect anything from God, this persistency shows man's commitment, you know, shows importance to him for these persistent prayers. We go back for something that's important to us. We don't simply walk away from it when we don't receive it. So it all kind of works together.
I was going to say one of the other things too. I mean, when you talk about persistence, I mean, it's the idea of waiting on God. Mm-hmm. And if you look, I mean, there's all kinds of verses in the Psalms that deal with waiting on God. And the person that doesn't wait, what it shows is that their faith is not in God. I mean, they give up. So that's the other thing. Just when we pray, the idea that, I mean, that, you know, people, get this idea in their mind that if God doesn't answer me by tomorrow morning, I guess he's just not listening to me. Have to keep in mind he's God and we're not.
Yep.
And he'll answer us both when and how is right. And that's why it's incumbent on us that we persist and that we remain faithful, knowing that God has our best interest at heart.
Absolutely. I don't know if I put any Psalms in here, but yeah, you're right about that. And I think about great comments too. Any other comments, questions? Perfect. I think again about asking, seeking, and knocking the scriptures to talk about that, right? Matthew 6. Turn with me there. It's a very common passage that we read so often. Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ tells us, starting at verse 24. This might be a little bit more lengthy reading, but it's be mindful of what you're seeking. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more better than they are? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Or why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And the statement that is so profound in this as well, apart from everything Christ tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What all things are you talking about? The things that you shouldn't worry about. It'll be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Be mindful of what you seek. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will provide. And then I think about Hebrews 11:6, right? A very common statement that we all... Hebrews 11, in verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God how? Right? He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligence. But be diligent in a way that shows care. Care for who you're going to. Care for what you're asking. Be conscientious of one's work or duties. And I think about Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 and verse 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. We must ask, seek, and I think about Luke 13:25, knock before it's too late. We must continue to seek these things and be persistent in our nature, what we ask to God, how often we ask for God, and what we're asking of. Now I think there, throughout the parable of Luke chapter 11, the mention of some of the gifts, right? At the end of that, if a son shall ask bread of you for the father, will he give him a stone? A fish, will he give him a serpent? Ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Christ discussed that even though we, being evil, still know how to give good gifts to our children, God is the true giver and gives gifts to his children. And I think James 1:17. Where did the gifts come from? every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And comes down from who? The Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Gifts come from the Father. John 3:16, we know the greatest gift being His Son. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, but it is what? The gift of God. Grace was given to us. The gift of remission of sins, Acts 2:38. The gift of eternal life, Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correctness, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. We have a bunch of gifts here that we've just covered. Where do the gifts come from? Gift of the Son, grace given to us, gift of remission of sins, gift of eternal life, gift of His Word, right? In 2 Timothy 3:16, gift of His Word. We think about that, and we come back to the parable itself. How much more then shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The Father knows how to give good gifts. When people ask of us, we must be understanding, just as our Father is understanding when we go to ask of Him as well. Any thoughts before we move into the persistent widow? So we understand from going back to our chapter that we read earlier, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual is what? Persistence. Consistent and persistence. Come and she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust said, judge said. How? And God shall not avenge, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him night and day, though he bears long with him. So I think about the widow. The parable is given for men to know that they should always pray and faint not. Right? We gather that from the context. Just as the man was persistent in asking his friend for bread, we should be persistent in God in our prayers and to Him. The widow, some points about the widow. She kept coming back to ask the same question. Get justice for me from my adversary. She kept asking the same person, the one who could make it happen for her. Despite whether he wanted to or not, she stayed diligent in her request. She did not lose heart. She did not faint until she received what she asked. There's persistence right there. Don't lose faith. Don't be faint of heart when things don't seem like what Ray was talking about. When we ask and we may not receive right when we want it. But we've got to stay diligent and persistent in our prayers. So the widow, she was persistent. She kept asking the same question, the same person. And we have this judge. Who was the judge? He was a person that could make it happen. Sometimes people like us in positions that we can make things happen as well. Right? As far as in our day and stuff. So when people ask of us, I kind of think mindsets of today as well too. But in reference to the Scriptures, this is a person who can make it happen within the parable. The divine ruler of the city, he had all power and all authority. But the judge had some very not so good attributes about him. He did not fear God. He did not regard man. He was considered an unjust judge by God himself. I remember Donnie's sermon was like, how would you want this to be said about you? I wouldn't want to be said that was unjust, that I was unjust. But just putting myself in the judge's shoes there as far as that part goes, just thinking mindsets of human beings. But those put in authority must be mindful of those that seek righteous judgment as well. We have examples in the Old Testament are full of various judges that God gave the children of Israel, both good and evil. Just thinking about judges in itself, the ability that can make things happen. We understand who the judge is that will make all things happen one day, Judgment Day. But there's a point about the judge. Although he was unjust, he still listened to the people, but regarded them not as important. What he considered important, though, was his time, his agenda. He was unjust. He did not want to be troubled. But so for his own contentment, right? We understand that. For his own contentment, he appeased the widow begging. He just wanted to go away. Just go away. I'll take care of it. Okay, let's just do this. Let's get it out of the way. He didn't want to be troubled. But we have a just God, not an unjust judge. We have a just God, a true righteous judge for us as we think about the parables and the persistency. And for his children that cry to him day and night, as we understand from this parable. Now, I got the Psalms for you right here. Psalms 34. I want to think about as we go back to the Old Testament. Psalms 34 and verse 15. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save spirit, save such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We have a just God. We have a righteous God. He hears the cries. And I think, as we think about persistency and consistency through this study, through the parables, I think of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, which tells us what? Hope if I was in the right book there for a second. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three words. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Consistency, persistence. Do not stop. There's three words to go along with it. Pray without ceasing, do not stop. And then I think, again, of collections that we, apart from the parables themselves, the applications that we have for today, that's continued. Turn with me to Matthew 10, verse 22. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. Persistence. Don't lose faith, don't lose hope. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 36 through 39. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now if the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are saved by our persistence. Think of Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Psalm 107. These are our last two passages, and then we close up for the night here. Psalm 107 in verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Persistence. And I'm sure that some of you probably already thought about this. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. It's our last passage of the evening. We'll get ready to close up. Something that helps us to continue thinking about as those that have gone before us, their persistence, their continuance in spreading the gospel apart from Christ, the apostle that he set up, the disciples that followed him, as well, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Persistence, consistency. We understand from the parables the lessons that it teaches us that even, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to face in the world, among troubles, trials, things that we're going to go to prayer and God about, things that we're going to ask for, how often we should ask for, why we should ask for it, the mentality that we do when we ask for it, understanding who we are praying to, who we are asking of, and what we are asking of. So as we close up this one, the parable, I forgot to put it down here for the next session, will be parable of the rich fool from Luke 12 in verse 13 through 21, if you all want to get a jump start on that one too for next Wednesday. That'll be our last one at that point, but any other questions as we close up? Any comments? Okay. Thank you.